So we are holding on Ches Amur Aleph, the first line of the wide lines. We're in the middle of a discussion as follows. We were talking about a case where a mavui where one end of it is open to Rishos Rabin, the other end we said was breached, so it wasn't a regular opening, it was breached into a backyard behind some houses, and then in turn that rechava then has an opening out to Rishos Rabin. And then we talked about the related case where good morning, Yaakov. You have the related case also where instead of a rechava over there, you have a chotzer over there that the mavri opens up into. So we had a discussion so far about whether it would be mutter to carry in that mavri or not. We said that Rav had said that if you have a chotzer over there, it would be also to carry in that mavri. So we said there are two possible reasons to understand why it would be also to carry in the mavri. One is looking at it from the point of view of that the mavri is not a mavri she'ein mefulash anymore. It's now a mavri mefulash because the other end of it is completely open to this rechava or this chotzer. The other way of looking at it is it's not so much a problem of that. It's a problem of that they haven't made an eruv between them. The people whose houses, if we're talking about a chotzer, or Rabbi Nachananel had said the Rechava also houses open out into it, then they haven't made an eruv with the other people whose houses and chatzeres open out to the mavui, and therefore for that reason you'd have a reason to say it's also to carry in the mavui. So in that connection we also talked about that we're saying that if the mavui opens out into the rechava, now we started by saying that actually Rabbi Yehuda had said you would be allowed to carry in that mavui which opens into a rechava. So we talked about that was what led us into that whole discussion, because we were discussing the question of does that necessarily disagree with what Rav is saying, or can it be made to work with what Rav is saying because there would be a difference whether they made an Eruv or not. In other words, again, the problem is not so much the physical layout. The problem is that they didn't make an Eruv. As long as they made an Eruv, then we wouldn't worry so much about the physical layout. So we said there are a few conditions that we need in order for that to work, though. Number one, it has to be, we said, the Mavu has to open to the middle of the Rechava, meaning that the Rechava extends out on both sides from the Mavui. Otherwise, if you have one wall of the Mavui continues and becomes one wall of the Rechava, then it's no good, because then in effect it is a Mavui Mefulosh. So then you would need a Tzuras of Pesach at that end. Number two, we said that only works also if it's a rechava that belongs to a bunch of people. But if it belongs to only one person, that one person might decide to build some buildings on one side of the rechava, and then you're back to where you were, where you have, instead of an opening to the middle of the rechava, you have an opening to the side. So then you'd still have a problem. We also mentioned another condition as well, that if the rechava has this opening to Rosh Hashanah that we mentioned, it can't actually be exactly opposite the opening of the mavui. It has to be offset to one side. And that way, at least the mavui can be considered more of a mavui sasum. Has at least a little more right to be called a mavui sasum, given that you can't go straight through it out to the other end. You have to go in one direction or the other. But now we're going to focus on this point that we mentioned, that Rav Mesharshia had mentioned, that there's a difference between a rechava that belongs to one person versus that belongs to a bunch of people. Where again, we said if it belongs to a bunch of people and the mavui opens out to the middle of it, then you're good, then you're able to carry in that mavui. But not without needing a tzuras hapesa hatarin. But otherwise, no, because we said otherwise, then what's going to happen is right now it's open to the middle of the rechava. But eventually, the person who owns that rechava, if it belongs to an individual, may decide to build some buildings or houses or whatever over there. And now you have the mavui doesn't stick out on both sides. Now the rechava doesn't stick out on both sides of the mavui; it sticks out on only one side, and you have an effect of mavui mefulosh. So first line of the wide lines of Chesem Aleph. The Gemara says, "We're not temra the shani lon ben rechava the rabim lo rechava the yachid." Where do you get this idea that there's a distinction between a rechava that belongs to one to many people versus to one person? Okay, so we said Rav Masharshi had said that there is that difference, but where does Rav Masharshi himself get that idea from that there should be that distinction? Maybe we should say, look, it opens to a rechava. The rechava sticks out on both sides of the mavui, so who cares whether it belongs to a rabbi or a yochid? Why are we making gzeiros like that? So like this, the Amar Ravin Barav Ada Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, because we know from the following case that Ravin Barav Ada says in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, Maisa b'mavui echad shet sidur echad kolol yam but sidur echad kolol ashba. It happened with a certain mavui where one side of it ended at the sea and the other side ended at a garbage heap. So when we talk about the sides, Rashi says we're talking about the long sides over here. In other words, Rashi learns that what you had is like this. A mavui, remember we learned before, has to be longer than it's wide. Otherwise, it's not considered a mavui in halacha, and a lechi or koda is not good for it. The situation over here Rashi describes is, you had as follows. At the back side of the mavui, away from Rosh Hashanah, you had a couple of chaseiros with houses opening into them, and then those in turn open out into the mavui. Fine, so far so good. We got two chaseiros, each one with two houses, and they open up to the mavui. Usually, a mavui like that would usually have more houses and more chaseiros running along the long sides of it. In this case, instead, what you had is along one long side, you had the sea, and you had, in particular, the bank of the river bank or the sea bank or whatever sloped very sharply off the side. So you had it was enough of a slope to be we learned about in Shabbos. We're going to learn about in Or Masechta as well a concept called Tel Hamislaket Yud Tfach Mitoch Dalat Amos, where you have a slope that's steep enough that in a horizontal distance of 4 amas, you're climbing at least 10 tefachim. In modern terms, it would be in road grade terms, it would be a grade of like 45% or so. There's no road as far as I know anywhere in the country, or maybe like some very very steep mountain roads someplace in the world that are that grade. Normally road grades are much less than that. Anyway, if you have such a grade. When we learned this on Shabbos, actually, we were wondering whether any of the grades in Crown Heights would make that. But no, there's no street in Crown Heights, for example, that's anywhere near that steep. Anyway, the point is, when in general, in halacha, when you have that steep a slope, it is considered a wall. So therefore, you have a wall on that side consisting of the steep slope sloping down to the bottom of the lake or the ocean or whatever this was over there. On the other side, you had a garbage heap, which was at least 10 tefachim tall. And then on the fourth side is open to Rosh Hashanah as usual. So that was the situation. That's how Rashi learns. You have other Rishonim learn. The Ritva mentions the Rambam seems to hold this way. That what we mean is the short ends of the mavui consisted. One end of them had a garbage heap, and the other end had the sea. And the question was according to Rashi, we have there was a lechi rakora at the open end to Rosh Hashanah, because of course there had to be. The question was going to be, as we're going to say in the Gemara over here, are we concerned that those walls, that slope and that garbage heap might eventually be removed, and then you're not going to have them? According to the Ritva and the Rambam and everybody else, the issue is more, do you need a lechi or koda at the open end to begin with? Anyway, uvam ma'isa lifnei Rebbe, the case was brought to Rebbe to ask a shaila. V'lo amar b'lo heter v'lo iser. Rebbe didn't want to say that it's mutter. He didn't want to say that it's usser. Iser lo amar b'lo. He didn't want to say that it's usser to carry in this mavui. Because the Hakaimi Mechitzis. After all, there do exist Mechitzis. You do have the Chatzeres that open to the backside of it. You have the sea with its sharp slope on one side, you have the garbage heap on the other side. So you have three mechitzas, and that's what you need for a mavui. So at that point, all you need is a lechi or koda at the fourth end, as usual with any other mavui, and you're good. Or according to the other rishonim, the point is because you have the sea or the garbage heap at the you have one at one end, one at the other end, and walls on the other two sides, and therefore you have it the normal mavui. So it says so shouldn't even need a lechi or koda. So he didn't want to say that's usur. On the other hand, heter, like amaba, but here is the key point that's relevant to our sugya, is he didn't want to say that it's mutter, chayshinan, because we're concerned, shema tinoto ashba, the garbage heap might be cleared away, and then you don't have a wall of 10 tefachim on that side. The yala hayam shirton, on the seaside, we're concerned. Yes, there's this sharp drop off, but what happens if the sea casts up mud? Shirton is where you have, where, you know, you have sometimes the sea floods, or it casts up mud and rocks and dirt and whatever. The point is, in other words, you may end up you end up with new land next to it which didn't exist before, and therefore you would have a problem, because now you'd have the mavui is now not the wall that we're talking about of the mavui is not right next to it. Now you have it's further away, because now you have more flat land that used to be that used to be part of that drop off that used to be going down into the sea, and now you have sediment collected over there, and now you have land over there. So therefore, he didn't want to say it's mutter because of that concern. Now we're going to get back to that matter of shirtoin of sediment from the lake or from the river or whatever soon. But first, we have to say, going back to the matter of the garbage heap, umichai shinin shemeti natal ashba. So what are you telling me that we're concerned when there's a garbage heap over there, that it might be cleared away, and therefore you're saying that, therefore Rebbe is saying he doesn't want to be matu, this mavui outright. Well, it's not. We learn in a Mishnah later in our Masechta, Ashba b'shosarabim gavoya yud tfachim, if you have a garbage heap in your shosarabim that is at least 10 tfachim tall, which therefore being 10 tfachim, and it's 4x4 at least, so it counts as a reshosa yachid, and therefore, chaloyin shav gabla zokin lava shabbos. If your house has a window that overlooks that garbage heap, you're allowed to throw garbage out that window to the garbage heap on Shabbos. Because what happens? You're throwing from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid. You're throwing through, now you're going through Rosh Hashanabim, but you're not, because it's above 10 tfachim, so you're not going through Rosh Hashanabim, you're going through Makom Ptur. So fine, you're going from Rosh Hashayachid to Makom Ptur to Rosh Hashayachid, and that's allowed. Now, the point is, why aren't we concerned that one day the garbage heap might be cleared away or reduced to less than 10 tefachim, and you're not going to realize and you're still going to go and throw garbage into that heap? Obviously, the answer is almost shani ben ashba the rabim ashba the yachid. Obviously, there has to be a difference between a garbage heap that belongs to the rabim versus one that belongs to the yachid. When it belongs to the rabim, we're not concerned that just one day they're gonna cart it away. Therefore, you can continue throwing your garbage out your window to the garbage heap on Shabbos without having to be concerned that it might be cleared away and you're not gonna realize. As opposed to the case of the mavui, where one side of it was made up by a garbage heap, then we're saying Rebbe was concerned that one day the garbage might be taken away, and then you don't have a 10 tef, then you don't have 10 tefachim over there, and you're still going to continue carrying the mavui, not realizing. So we see there's a difference between a garbage heap that belongs to the rabbim and one of the yachid, hachanami. So returning to the case of the mavui that opens out into the rechava, same thing, shiny, ben rechava de yachid, ben rechava de rabbim, rechava de yachid. Rav Misharish here can well tell us that there's a difference between whether the Rechava that the Mavui opens out into belongs to a Rabbim or to a Yochid. Again, given that we said that one of the conditions that you need in order to carry in this Mavui, when it's open into the Rechava, is that the Rechava extends on both sides of the Mavui. So you have a T-shaped thing with the Mavui, you get to the end of the Mavui, and then you have a wider area that you're walking into, and that wider area extends on both sides of the Mavui. And we said that's allowed. We said that then that's fine, because when you stand in that rechava and look towards the mavui, you have walls on both sides, and those that makes it counted as a doorway. And furthermore, you also have, therefore, that so you can say the Mavui ends at that point, as compared to, again, when the Mavui only when the Rechava extends only to one side of the Mavui, when you have its L shaped, then you can't say that, because then in effect you have a Mavui Mefulosh. The one wall of the Mavui continues on as one of the walls of the Rechava. And again, Rav Mesharshia is telling us, based on that, you also have to distinguish between whether it's a Rechava belonging to Rabbim or the Yachid, as we said, because the Yachid may decide to build buildings over there. So now we see that you have that distinction between something that belongs to the Rabbim and something that belongs to the Yachid. Namely, we see that with a garbage heap, so therefore the same thing can be applied in the case of a Rechava. Okay. So that's a solid proof. So now let's get back to this case of the Mavui where one side was a lake and the other side was a garbage heap. So we said that Rebbe, when they brought the question to Rebbe, he didn't want to say Laheter or Laisser. So the question is, Rabbanan Mai, the Rabbanan, the other Chachamim in Rebbe's times, what would they say about that Mavui? Rabbi Yosef Bar Jimmy, ton of a Chachamim. So Rabbi Yosef Bar Jimmy says, we learn in a Braisa, the Chachamim actually say it would be Osir. So not like Rebbe, who didn't want to say whether it's Osir or Mutter, the Chachamim had no qualms about saying that it's outright Osir. Now, according to the Chachamim, what would you have to do? In other words, you'd have to build walls on those sides, or sort of like Pesachs maybe, in order for it to be Mutter. So Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim. So Rav Nachman says the Halacha is actually like those Chachamim, that it is going to be Osir. You can't rely on the slope going down to the lake or on the garbage heap. You have to actually make proper walls or tzuras or pesachs or whatever for this Mavui. Ikadamri Amar Rav Yosef Bar Avdimi Tanav Acham Matirim. Another version of it goes that Rav Yosef Bar Avdimi said that the Chachamim say it's mutter, and according to that version, Rav Nachman ain halacha k'divrei Chachamim. According to that version, though, Rav Nachman says the halacha is not like the Chachamim, meaning the halacha would be like Rebbe, that we can't be sure whether it's also a mutter. In practice, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch actually paskin that it is mutter in that case. First of all, again, they're learning that the configuration is a little bit different than the way Rashi is saying over here. That's not that the garbage heap and the lake are along the long sides of the Mavri, but rather that they're along the short sides. And the question is whether you need a lechi rakoda or not. And the answer is that, so in the case of the garbage heap, again, as we said in the Gemara before, we're distinguishing whether it belongs to Rabbim or the Yachid, but here we're talking about where it belongs to the Rabbim. As far as the matter of Shema Yala Hayam Shirta, and actually, so we have the next line over here in the Gemara, and then that'll address that. So the Gemara says, Marema Posik Lola Sura Ba'ozli. Marema did like this. In Sura, which is in the Sura, one of the famous cities in Babel, that city was next to a lake or river or something like that. There were a bunch of mavoyas that were like that, a bunch of mavoyas where one end of the mavoy or one side of the mavoy or whatever was next to, was net, went down to the lake. So Marema would say like this, we're not going to accept that the slope down to the lake is going to be enough for a machitza. Instead, he would put up oizli, which means nets, at the ends of each of the mavoyas. So you have each mavoy, the end of that, with each mavui, you have an end of the mavui that goes to the, that goes down to the lake over there. He would have the people put up a net there before Shabbos. I guess the reason why nets is, practically speaking, you know, if they're living next to the lake, probably many people in town made their parnasa as fishermen. So like this, they have nets easily available. So he would use those nets to block off the end of each mavui, so that you have an actual machitza there, rather than relying on the slope going down to the lake. Omar, because he said, like we said before, Chashinid Shema Yala Yam Shirtan, because otherwise we have to be concerned that the lake is going to cast up sediment and dirt and rocks and whatever, and you're going to wind up with new riverbank new beach over there that you didn't have before, which now the Mavui is now open to that, and therefore it's going to end up being also to carry in the Mavui. So he was concerned about that, and therefore he would put up these nets before Shabbos rather than relying on the mechitza of the sea. And now that way they're still able to carry in the Mavoyas. Now that's according to Rashi. Rabbeinu Chananel and some other Rishonim have a different gusa the other way around. He says, Loi Chashin and Shema Yala Hayam Shirtan. We're not concerned about the Shema Yala Hayam Shirtan, and therefore they understand the words Pasuk, all the Surah Ba'uzli, they understand it somewhat differently. We're not talking about using nets over here. We're actually talking about that he would say they're allowed to go down from the Mavoyas to the sea. They're not allowed to carry in the sea, because that itself would be in the lake or whatever, because that would be kamelis. But that they're allowed to go there, but oizli meloshin ozal meloshin to go, and therefore, in other words, we're not concerned shema yala hayam shirtan. The Rambam, in fact, Paskin's like that, because he says there's a distinction, even though we put before together about the matter of the garbage heap and the matter of the sea, and we said Rebbe was concerned about both of them. Lahalacha, in the case of the garbage, if it belongs to Rabim, we're not concerned that it's going to be hauled away. Only in the case of a yachid are we. In the case of a sea, we're not concerned. Shema yala hayam shirtan, and therefore you're allowed to continue using it as the wall, as one wall of your mavli. We're not concerned that the slope of it is going to change, or that you're going to have more land over there next to it than you had before, which you're not going to carry in, etc. The Magen Avraham does mention, and Alter Rebbe brings it in Shulchan Aruch, that you do have to have, for this to work, the houses have to be right next to the water. Otherwise, if you have space in between them, then yeah, you have a problem, because now the Mavri is open to an area which is a Karmelis, and you would have to put up a sort of a Pesach over there in order to be Matur that. But if the houses on that side are really right next to the water, so there's no room to walk by, between the edges of the houses and the edge of the lake, then it's fine. The edge of the lake itself counts as one of the walls of your mother.
Why do you say the slope is a wall? Is considered like a wall?
Because that's what we were saying before. As long as the slope is at least it rises at least 10 tefachim in a horizontal distance of 4 amos or less, then it's considered a wall in halacha. We learned about this in Shabbos. So it doesn't have to be that it slopes off at a 90 degree angle. It's enough if it slopes off at whatever it is, a 25 degree angle or so forth, such that we have, again, you know, as you're walking down, you've walked a distance of 4 amos or less, and you've gone down an elevation 10 tefachim or more. Then that's considered, such a thing is considered a wall in halacha.
So again, it extends upwards?
What?
It extends upwards virtually?
No, it's not. Well, I mean, once you have a wall, it's considered a wall. Just like, think of it. In a certain sense, yes. I mean, the same way as, for example, think of it. You know, we learned in Shabbos, right, that if you have a pillar standing in the middle of a Shusat Abim, let's say, that's 4x4 tefachim, and 10 tefachim or more high, then it's considered a Shusat Yachid, even though it doesn't have any walls around the top surface of it, because we say, there we say good asik, there we say that we consider the sides of it to be pulled up and form walls. So here it's a similar kind of thing. Once you have a slope that's steep enough to be considered a wall in halacha, then we imagine as though that was pulled up vertically to create a wall on that side, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, going back to now, we talked about yesterday a question of mavui akum. We had a bent mavui, where we actually started that discussion really on Vav Amud Aleph, on Shabbos, where we talked about you had an L-shaped mavui, and we had a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, what the din of that mavui is. Where Rav had said we consider it like an open mavui, and therefore Rashi had said you need a surah of Pesach in the middle, and you know, lechi or koda at each of the open ends, each of the ends that open to the true Rosh Hashanah. And according to Shmuel, we said it's considered a mavoi sasum. Therefore, Shmuel would say that you just need a lechi at each of the two long ends, at each of the two ends that open to Rosh Hashanah. Rashi's Rebbe had mentioned over there that you also need maybe according to Shmuel, you would need a lechi in the middle where it bends. So that was one kind of mavoi akum. Later on, we talked about yesterday also a different kind of mavoi akum, which is shaped like a U. But here we're going to be talking about again the one that's shaped like an L. So hahu mavoi akum dehava b'sura. There was an L-shaped mavoi in sura. So again, we said according to Rav, you're going to need a tzuras a Pesach in the middle, and you're going to need a lechi or koda at each end. According to Shmuel, you're just going to need a lechi or koda at each end, and either nothing in the middle, or maybe only a lechi in the middle. So what they did is koruch budya, they rolled up a mat made out of reeds or whatever, oisivu be ba'akumise, and they put that rolled up mat at the bend of the mavui to serve as a lech. So Rashi learns over here that what happened was that, like this, Rashi himself again learns that according to Shmuel, all you need is a lechi at each end of this mavui akum. According to Shmuel, you don't need anything in the middle. In this case, Rashi explains what they did is they had a lechi at one end of the bent mavui. So let's say, you know, to put it in contemporary terms, let's say this mavui akum went, you know, one end of it open to Montgomery Street and the other end open to Kingston Avenue. So you have, let's say, at the Kingston Avenue end, they had a lechi. Then at the Montgomery Street end, they did not have a lechi. Instead, though, in the middle, where it bends, where it turns 90 degrees to go to the other street, instead they put this rolled up mat over there to serve as a lechi. So you have a lechi at one end and something that might serve as a lechi in the middle, but nothing at the other end. According to Rashi, then Rashi mentions, according to his Rebbeim, who had said that the din is, according to Shmuel, that you need a lechi at each end and a lechi in the middle, then what happened is they had the lechi at each end properly, one at the Montgomery Street end, one at the Kingston Avenue end, but in the middle, instead of a regular lechi, they had this rolled up mat. We also said over there, Tosfos and other Rishonim have yet another explanation of what you need in this mavui, according to Shmuel. Anyway, so that was the situation. Amar Rav Chista ha loike Rav loike Shmuel. So Rav Chista says that doesn't work. What they did over here doesn't follow Rav's opinion or Shmuel's opinion. L'Rav de Amar Tarosikim Fulosh. According to Rav, who said that an L-shaped mavui is considered like a mavui mefulosh, and we know that a mavui mefulosh tzuras a pesach boy, then it would require a tzuras a pesach. Now, we actually had a case involving the U-shaped mavui where we said they applied the chumrah of Shmuel, and they actually required doors because Shmuel learns that a mavui mefulosh requires a door at one end. But even if we don't say that, even if we don't require Shmuel's Chumrah, and Rishonim explained the difference is, over there we were talking about the Nahaudah. So we wanted to paskin fundamentally like Rav, because when it comes to Issur v'Hetter, the Halacha is like Rav. On the other hand, the fact is it was in Nahaudah, which is the place where Shmuel lived and had his Beis Medrash. Therefore, they were choshesh for Shmuel's Shitta as well. Here we're talking about, this is in Surah. Surah was where Rav's Yeshiv is. So here we don't, so in Surah, we don't have to be concerned about Shmuel's opinion at all. That's according to most Rishonim don't paskin like Shmuel. You have a minority of Rishonim paskin like Shmuel over there, so they would have to learn all Gemara differently. But anyway, the point is that even if we say, according to Rav then the bend in the mavui over here doesn't just require a lechi, it requires a tzuras a pesach. And we don't have that, because all they did is roll up this mat and put it in the corner over there. And Rav Chista continues, L'Shmuel d'Amar Terosek Sosu, and even according to Shmuel, who says that the L-shaped mavui is considered a mavui sosum, and therefore, either according to Rashi, you don't need anything at the bend, or according to Rashi's Rebbe, you need a lechi at the bend. Fine, Hani Mili, lechi ma'alya. He says that only works if you have an actual proper lechi. Aval hai, but over here, this rolled up mat, kibben and noshid bezik of a shadilei, since if the wind blows, it's going to knock it down. The mat is, after all, a very lightweight thing, so even if it's rolled up, it's not really going to stand firmly if the wind blows, v'shadilei, and knock it down, loy klomu, then it doesn't count as anything. So again, according to Rashi himself, what we need is, the mat is not helping over here. What we need is a lechi at the Montgomery Street end, and a lechi at the Kingston Avenue end, and nothing in the middle. According to Rashi's Rebbeim, we do need a lechi in the middle as well, by the bend, but instead of this mat, which is not helping with that because it's going to fall down, instead you need a proper lechi over there. And that's all according to Shmuel. According to Rav, we would need a tzuras pesach there instead of the mat. So that's so sort of Chista is saying. The way they did it over here doesn't work according to either one of them. The Eid notes they sixa, but if they put a nail in through the rolled up mat, the chabre, and they attached it to the wall with the nail, chabre, then good, they attached it. In other words, now, yes, it can count as a valid lechi, because by itself it wouldn't be strong enough to stand, but once they nailed it up to the wall, once they nailed it to the wall, then fine, it'll stand like any other lechi, and therefore it counts as a lechi. Okay. Gufa, getting back to something we said before in the Gemara, we said before in the sugya about the mavoi that's open to a rechava sha'achorei abatim, to a backyard behind houses. So we said that Amar Rabbi Yirmi Ba'aba, Amar Rav, mavoi shenifritz b'miloya l'chotzer, if a mavoi is completely broken open into a chotzer, meaning, again, the chotzer did not originally open out into this mavoi. The people who live in that chotzer would usually, in the past, have gone out some other direction. Their chotzer opened into some other mavoi, or into some other chotzer, or directly into Rosh HaSarabim, or whatever. But now you have the wall between the mavoi and that chotzer collapsed. So now you have the mavoi opens directly into the chotzer. The nifritz chotzer connector, and in turn the chotzer itself now has a breach out to Rosh HaSarabim opposite it. So we said chotzer muteres of mavoi osir. We said you're still allowed to carry in the chotzer, but you're not allowed to carry in the mavoi. And again, we said there are two possible ways of understanding that. One way would be because the mavoi now is open straight through, and the other way would be because the other people who live in that mavoi did not make a shit of mavoyus with that chotzer, because after all, the people in that chotzer up until now were not generally walking through that mavoi, because up until now they didn't have an opening to it. But now that it's broken open, so we're saying that the mavoi is, so either we're saying the mavoi is mefulosh, and therefore it needs a turas pesach at that end, or we would say that if they didn't make an eruv, then you have a problem because now you have that the mavoi is open to an area that has not had an eruv or shittuf made with it. So we'd said that din. So the question is, Amalei Rabba Bar Ula L'Rabbi Bar Baya, he says, Rebbe, Loi Mishnah Seinu Hizu, isn't that the same thing as we learned in the Mishnah later in our Masechta? So why does Rav have to say this din? The Mishnah says over there, Chotzer Ktana Shenifritz Alagdola. If you have a small chotzer, was broken open into a big one. So let's say, up until now, we've been talking about a mavoi and a chotzer. Let's talk about a similar scenario. You have a smaller chotzer, and you have a larger chotzer. There was a wall between them, and now the wall fell down, and now what you have is, when we say smaller and larger, we have to imagine it, the smaller chotzer, if you stand in the smaller chotzer and look towards the larger chotzer, you don't see any walls anymore. It's completely open. But if you stand in a large chotzer and look towards the small chotzer, what happens is the walls come in on both sides of the large chotzer. And in other words, the large chotzer is wider and the small chotzer is narrower. So when you stand in the large chotzer and look in the direction of the small chotzer, you see walls. You see the remaining walls on both sides because those are the walls. Those aren't the walls that separate the big chotzer from the small chotzer. Those are the walls that separate the big chotzer from whatever else is around it. So those walls are still intact. So when you look in that direction, you still see walls. So therefore, in effect, what you have is that. So if the opening is wider than 10 amos, then you have an issue anyway, because an opening wider than 10 amos is not considered an opening in halacha, as we learned in our Mishnah. But if the opening is narrower than 10 amos, then the Mishnah says over there, G'dola muteres uktana asura. You're allowed to continue carrying in the large one. You're not allowed to carry in the small one, unless they make an Eruv together. And if this happened on Shabbos, of course, then they can't. Mipneshe kipischa shogdola. Because, in effect, the small one is like an entrance of the large one. Because again, since when you're standing in the large one and you look in that direction, you do see partial walls. You see the walls on each side that narrow towards in the direction of the small chotzer. So the small chotzer is now a doorway. So now you have the appearance of a doorway over there that you're going through to get to the small chotzer, and therefore that's fine. But vice versa, not. Because when you stand in the small chotzer and look towards the large chotzer, you don't see a doorway. You just see it wide open. So the same kind of thing with the mavoi and the chotzer. The same thing. The mavoi is narrower. The chotzer is wider. So isn't it the same din? Why does Rav need to tell us that the same thing applies to a mavoi and a chotzer? Amalei, so Rabbi Biba, Abaye answers, Ime Hosem, fine, but if we only had that Mishnah, Hava Amila, Hani Mili, Hefidolei Kadarsi Bo Rabin, you would say, you know why it's Mutter over there in the case of the two Chatzeres, because you don't have Rabin walking through it. You don't have, after all, neither one is a Mavri, both of them are Chatzeres. You have the people whose houses open out into that Chatzer are walking around in those respective Chatzeres. You don't have people from Rishos Rabim going and walking through these Chatzeres, because it's not going to accomplish them anything. The Chatzeres are closed off on all the other sides. It's dead end. Aval Hecha de Kadarsi Bo Rabim, but in a case like this where we're describing with a Mavri that's broken open into a Chatzer, and the Chatzer in turn is broken to Rishos Rabim, where now Rabim can walk through over there, because now what you have is people from one Rishos Rabim are able to use this Mavri and the Chatzer behind it as an alternate route. They're able to go through it and get to the other Rishos Rabim rather than going the long way around. So Ema after the Chatzer Nami, you would have thought that the Chatzer itself is also to carry in as well, because now you have so many people walking through it. So therefore, Rav's main chiddush was not so much to tell us that the Mavri is also, but rather to tell us the Chatzer is still Mutter. And again, the reason why the Chatzer is Mutter is, looking in the direction of the Mavri, there's no problem, because there is still the appearance of a doorway over there. And in general, Rashi says on the previous Amud, the fact whether you made a Mavri, whether you made a Shittuf Mavoyas or not, doesn't ask you to carry in the Chatzeres. Even if you didn't make a Shittuf Mavoyas, you're still allowed to carry in the Chatzer as long as you made an Eruv there. So the Mavri can't ask the Chatzer. As far as that the Chatzer has an opening to Rishos Rabim, no problem, because that opening is also less than 10 Amos wide. So that's Rav's main chiddush, is not so much that the Mavri is Osir, but that the Chatzer is Mutter. On the side of it here, it brings a note, I guess, from Masoras Hashas, that still, then why didn't Rav just say the Chatzer is Mutter? And the answer is because still, we might have thought the Mavri should be Mutter on the grounds of, we said yesterday, maybe the Mavri is considered to have a Lechi on that side, because those walls that turn 90 degrees and go outside of the Mavri might count as a Lechi, even though they're not visible from the inside of the Mavri, because they are visible from the outside, and Rav wants to tell us it's not so. They don't count as a Lechi. Anyway, so Rav's main chiddush is that the chotzer remains mutter to carry in, on the grounds that, again, in terms of pirtzis, there's not a problem, because the chotzer is not completely parut to the mavri, because you have the walls remaining on both sides, since the chotzer is wider than the mavri. From the point of Erev Chatzeres, there's not a problem, because the mavri can't aser the chotzer, the mavri can't aser the chotzer in that way anyway, so therefore you're good. And that's the point. Even though Rabim are now walking through this Chatzer, because now Rabim have discovered that they're able to walk through the Mavri, which used to be a Mavri Sosim, is now open to the Chatzer, and the Chatzer in turn is open to Rishos Rabim, so the Rabim now have an alternate route that they can use, and therefore they're walking through the Chatzer, still you're allowed to carry in that Chatzer. The question then is, Ha Nami Tanena? Okay, Vaha Nami Tanena. Okay, but we also have a Mishnah to that effect. Not in our Masechta, but in Masechta Taras. The Mishnah says, Chotzer Sha'arabim in Chnosim Labazu, the Yotzim Labazu, a Chotzer which is like that, where there's two entrances, and the Rabim are able to walk through from one end to the other. The din is Rishos Rabim l'Tumah Rishos Yachad l'Shabbos. As far as the dinim of Suffolk Tumah, it's considered like a Rishos Rabim. We know throughout Shas you have the concept that if you have Suffolk Tumah, if you have a Suffolk, whether a person or an object or whatever became Tameh. So one of the conditions we say is if it's in Rishos Rabim, then it's Tahor, and if it's in Rishos Yachad, it's Tameh. We learn that from a Soita. So this case, since Rabim are walking through this Chatzah all the time, it counts as a Rishos Rabim as far as Tumah, but Rishos Yachid, the Shabbos. But as far as Shabbos, it still counts as a Rishos Yachid, even though many people are walking through it. So you see that a Chatzah that many people are walking through is still okay to carry in. So why does Rab have to tell us that din? The answer is still, there is a Chiddush. Ime Hasem, yeah, but if you had only that Mishnah in Taras, Hava Amina, Hani Mila Zesh Leikeneged Zeh, you would say that only applies if the two breaches are not one opposite the other. So you have the Chatzer has a breach on one wall of it, and then offset from it, on the other side, you have another one. aval zeh shaloi keneged zeh. But if you had breaches that are not aval zeh keneged zeh, but if you have one breach exactly opposite the other, eim aloi, you would think that not. So therefore that is Rav's chiddush telling us that nevertheless you're allowed to carry in that chatzar, even though the breach on one side to the mavoi and on the other side to Rishos Rabim are exactly opposite each other, nevertheless the chatzar still retains its status as a chatzar, as a Rishos Yachid, and you're allowed to carry there as long as they made an error. Okay. What about the Gemara says, well, the Rabba, the Amazek Neged Zeh Osir? What about, though, in the previous Sugya, we said that actually Rav had said that no, that if Rav had explained that Rav would say that no, if the two breaches are exactly one opposite the other, then it is Osir. Then we have the Mavri Mefulash is Osir. Then we have it's a Mavri Mefulash, and therefore it's Osir. Now the Rashi over here uses the words afilu chotzer, that even the chotzer is osir. Marshal takes them out. Marshal says they still belong over here, but then in the end he says that maybe not. The point is, in other words, at least though, we said before that Rav's din, according to Rabba, Rav's din had applied only if, in fact, the break into the Mavui and the break out into Rishos Rabim are not one opposite the other. So according to that, if we say that way, because then at least the Mavui has the ability to be considered a Mavui Sosum. Otherwise, it would be considered a complete Mavui Mefulash. So then, according to Rabba's understanding, what is Rav's chiddush in the case of this chotzer if we already know the din from that Mishnah and Taras? And again, according to Rabba, the Mishnah and Taras and Rav's scenario, where it's mutter to carry in the chotzer, are the same thing. They both involve where you have a breach in one place in the chotzer, and then, not exactly opposite it, someplace else in the wall of the chotzer, you have a breach out into the Shusarabim. So the question is, hold the Rav my mukila. So how would Rabba understand what Rav is saying? What's the chiddush in what Rav is saying compared to the Mishnah? And so that hold the sorry. The Rabba da amazek neged ze osur, hold the Rav my mukila. After all, how does he understand Rav's original din that you're allowed to carry in the chotzer and not in the mav? We bezesh like a neged ze. He would say it's talking about zesh like a neged ze, where one breach is not exactly the opposite of the other. So then the question is tauti lomali. In that case, why do we need two different statements? Why do we need the Tana of the Mishnah and Rav's statement? By the way, usually when the Gemara says tauti lomali, means why does a certain Tana or a certain Amurda need to repeat the same thing in two different contexts? Over here, we're using a little bit differently. We're saying, why does the Mishnah need to say it, and then Rav needs to say it again? And in fact, the Rashba wonders, why is the Gemara using that Lashon, where it should refer to two statements from the same authority? Anyway, that's the question. And according to Rabba, what is Rav's chiddush in telling us that you're allowed to carry in the chotzer when we see that from the Mishnah and Taras? The answer is ime hosam, but if we only had the Mishnah and Taras, Rabba would answer that, then we would say, have amina hani mili lizroik. We would say, you know what? When the Mishnah says over there, it's considered a Rishus HaYochad, the Shabbos means l'chumra. Meaning that if you throw something from Rishos Rabim into that chotzer, you're going to be chayev for having broken Shabbos on a daraisa level. Aval l'taltel, but when it comes to carrying, meaning that you should be allowed to carry inside it, eim aloi, maybe not, maybe midrabanan it would be aser, kamash malan, and therefore according to Rabba, that is the chiddush. The difference, by the way, is not really so much between throwing and carrying. The difference is really more, in other words, we use throwing. A lot of times, we had this in Masechta Shabbos as well, we use throwing as a shorthand way of saying that moving something from Rishus HaRabim into this, or the other way around, would be also on a Daraisa level. On the other hand, L'taltil, we use as a shorthand way of saying that the area itself is something that you're allowed or not allowed to carry inside. So again, Rabba would say like this. Yes, both the Mishnah and Rav's scenario are talking about where you have the breach in the Mavui is in one place, and then you have not directly opposite it, someplace on the other wall offset from the first one is the breach into Rishos Rabim. So that if you're going to walk through the Mavui, you have to turn again in order to go out the breach of the chotzer into the Rishos Rabim. But if we only had the Mishnah over there, we would say, so you know what? That chotzer is considered a Rosh Hashanah Yochid on a Daraisa level. So if you transferred something between Rosh Hashanah Abim and it, whether by throwing or by carrying, you would be chayev, but not that you would be allowed to carry in the chotzer itself, because the chotzer itself would be osur d'rabbanan on the grounds that many people now are walking through it from the Mavri through the chotzer and from the, through the Mavri through the chotzer and out to the other Rosh Hashanah Abim. Comes Rav and tells us that no, even in that case, we do not make such a gzera, and midrabanan you're still allowed to, even midrabanan you're still allowed to carry in that chatzar. It's only the mavri that's going to be also in that case. So even according to Rav, there is a chidush in what Rav is saying. Okay. New discussion. Itmar mavri ha'osri k'nodol. If you have a mavri that is shaped like a centipede. So you can see the diagram in Tosfos over here. You have a large mavui, and then opening out from the sides of it, you have a bunch of smaller mavoyas. You actually have a couple of different opinions and distinctions among the Rishonim what exactly the layout is over here. They discuss the question: is the large mavui itself a mavui mefulosh? Is it open at both ends to Rosh Hashanah Abim, or is one end of it closed off? Is it itself a mavui sasum? You also have the question, are the little mavoyas that come out of the sides of it? So here in Tosfos, it's diagrammed with them coming out on both sides. And Tosfos says that we're talking about over here, that now Tosfos does say that we do have to have, they're coming out the sides, but they're offset one relative to the other. So you can see over here, in the diagram in Tosfos, that the top small mavui is not directly opposite the top. The top small mavui on the right is not directly opposite the top small mavui on the left, and so forth with all the other ones. So you have a few different opinions of Rishonim on that. The Ritva learns that actually we're talking about that they only come out from one side of the mavui. Now, I mean, that's not exactly like a centipede. A centipede has legs on both sides, but the Ritva learns that what we're going to describe in the Gemara over here would not work if you have an ability to go straight through, or even not straight through, even if they're offset. So therefore, of necessity, it has to be that they open out only from one side of the large mavui. On the other hand, again, Tosfos is saying over here that it's fine if they open out from both sides as long as they're offset. And then you have Rishonim who learned that actually it would, the same way would work actually even if they're not offset, even if they actually open directly one opposite the other. Anyway, so you have a configuration like that. So what do we do? So Abaya says what you do is you make a tzuras haPesach for the large mavui at one of the two ends. Now again, Rashi learns over here that we are talking about that the mavui gadol is actually open to two different Rosh Hashanah Abims. So it itself is a mavui. It itself is a mavui mefulosh. So therefore, it needs a tzuras haPesach at one of its ends as usual for a mavui mefulosh. And then all of the other entrances, so the other entrance of the large mavui, as well as the entrances of all of the smaller mavuyas, each need a lechi rakora. The entrance meaning each one of them where it opens to a Rosh Hashanah Abim. So all you need, Abaya says, is one Tzuras HaPesach at one end of the large one, and then lechis or kodas at each one of the ends of the smaller mavoyas, at each of the ends where the smaller mavoyas open to Rosh Hashanah Abim, as well as the other end of the large mavoyas. Amalei Rava, but Rava says to him, Kiman, who are you following in this? Kishmuel. Apparently you're following Shmuel's opinion. You're saying that apparently we're following Shmuel, who says, as in the sugya we had before, that a mavui okum, that an L-shaped mavui, is considered like a mavui sasum. And in effect, what we have over here is an L-shaped mavui, because when you consider the large mavui together with the small mavuyas, each of the small mavuyas, in effect, is a mavui okum, is a bent mavui, because you have to go in, you're going from Rosh Hashanah Abim in one direction, and then you're having to turn 90 degrees to go out. So therefore, that's a mavui okum. So apparently, you're following Shmuel and saying that a mavui okum only needs a lechi or koda at the ends, and not like Rav, who says that you need a tzuras haPesach in the middle. The question is, lama lo tzuras haPesach? So why do you need a tzuras haPesach at all? Even the large one. Even the large one doesn't necessarily, Rashi learns that the large one also is not necessarily straight. You have one end of it bends relative to the other. So Rashi apparently understands that the scenario over here is the large mavoi itself is L-shaped, and then you have smaller mavois coming out of it. Again, according to the various other Rishonim, according to Tosfos and the Ritva and so forth, who learn that the mavoi gadol itself is straight, they would have to understand the question. They would have to understand the question differently. The question would be then, so why would we need a Tzuras HaPesach? Why would we need a Tzuras HaPesach for the large one if the smaller ones are all bent relative to it? And not only that, and furthermore, even if you're going to say you're going like Shmuel, but the fact is we had that case of the Mavui Akum in the Haudah that we had on Vav Amud Beis, and they were concerned about Rav's opinion as well. They didn't just say, let's follow Shmuel and say that we don't need a Tzuras HaPesach in the middle. They are actually, we said, they combined together the Chumras of Rav and Shmuel and required doors, but fine, even if you're not going to combine together Chumras like that, really, the Halacha should really properly be like Rav, that you need door, that you need Tzuras HaPesach over there. So how can you say you get away with one Tzuras HaPesach for the large one and only lechis or kodas for all the other ones? Ela Amar Rava. So Rava says no. The din will be Oisat Tzuras HaPesach leKulu laHay Gisa. What you have to do is you have to make a Tzuras HaPesach. You have to make a Tzuras HaPesach for each of the smaller ones at one end, meaning at the end where they face toward the large mavui. And then all the other ends, the ends that go out to the respective Rishas Rabbims, can use a lechi or a koda. So each of the small mavoyas, you can see therefore in the diagram in Tosfos, where he diagrams where each of the small mavoyas is labeled Sadik He, which is Tzuras HaPesach. So you're going to wind up with that. The large mavoy is going to need a Tzuras HaPesach at one end. Because the large one is going to need a Tzuras HaPesach at one end, because otherwise it itself is an open mavri, is a mavri mefulosh. The small ones, we're saying, in effect, are considered like a mavri mefulosh as well, and therefore, or even if we're considering them a mavri okum, Rav holds a mavri okum is a mavri mefulosh. Therefore, we need a Tzuras HaPesach at the end that faces towards the large mavri, and then a lechi or koda at the other end of each of those small ones. And again, you have different opinions among the Rishonim. One explanation is that it means that all the ones facing in one direction. Again, if we go like Tosfos, that the small mavoyas are coming out on both sides of the larger mavoy, then lahai gisa. And lahai gisa would mean all the ones to the right of, let's say, all the ones to the right of the large mavoy are going to need Tzuras HaPesach, and all the ones to the left of the large one are going to just need a lechi or koda. Because according to that way of looking at it, we would say each one of them, if we say, especially if we say that the small mavoyas are exactly opposite each other, not like in Tosfos' diagram, then in effect each one of them is a mavri mefulosh, and okay, a mavri mefulosh we know needs a Tzuras HaPesach at one end and a lechi rekoda at the other end. So therefore, so according to some Rishonim, that's what we mean in the Gemara over here also. Not like we're saying that each of them needs a Tzuras HaPesach and each of them needs a lechi, but rather that half of the mavoyas need a Tzuras HaPesach and the other half on the other side require a lechi. Fine. So now let's continuing on topics of mavoyas. Omer of Kahana ba tachlifa mishmeder of Kahana ba manyumi mishmeder of Kahana ba malkiyoy mishmeder of Kahana rabbe de rav. So we have a whole bunch of Rav Kahanas over here. Rav Kahana bar Tachlifa in the name of Rav Kahana bar Manyumi, who was in the name of Rav Kahana bar Malkiyoy, who was saying in the name of Rav Kahana, who was the Rebbe of Rav. Or another version is Rav Kahana bar Malkiyoy Hainu Rav Kahana Rabbe de Rav. Another version is that the third and fourth one are the same one. Rav Kahana bar Malkiyoy is the Rav Kahana who was Rav's Rebbe. Anyway, so we have a whole bunch of Rav Kahanas saying one in the name of the other, and they say like this. If you have a mavoi where one end of it is longer than the other. So imagine, now we're back to a regular mavoi sasum, a regular dead-end street that's closed in on three sides. Usually, you would have both ends of the mavoi end at the same place, and then the Rosh Hashanah Abim runs perpendicular to them, and that's that. Here, we have a scenario where one end of the mavoi is longer than the other. It sticks out more into Rosh Hashanah Abim than the other one. So therefore, so the dividend is like this. Pachas me'abamas, if the difference in length between the two sides of the mavui is less than 4 amas, then they're saying, maniach as a koda ba'alachsan. Then what you could do, if you're putting a koda, again, remember you can put either a lechi or a koda for the open end of the mavui. In that case, what you can do is you can put the koda on an angle. So you can see the first diagram in Rashi illustrates this, where you have the mavui, one end is shorter, one end is longer. And what you do is you put the koda on a diagonal, so it goes across from the long end to the short end. But that only works if the difference in length is less than 4 amas. So one side of the mavui is, let's say, is 10 amas long, the other one is 13 amas long. So then you can do that. Arba amas, but if the difference in length between the two long sides is 4 amas or more, then what you have to do is you have to put the koda, you still have to put it at a 90-degree angle to the walls, and there you have to put it then from the short wall to the middle of the long wall. So there you have the second diagram in Rashi. So what you're going to have, in effect, therefore, is you're only going to be able to carry in the part of the mavui which has walls on both sides of it. The side where the wall extends out further is going to be outside the koda. That's according to the various Rav Kahanas. Rava Omar, Rava says no. Echad zeh, regardless, either way, ein maniach as a koda ela keneged hakotzer. You always have to put the mavui, and you always have to put the koda from the short wall to the middle of the long wall. You can't have it go out in a diagonal. And Rava says, let me explain my svara, and let me explain their svara. I'll start by explaining my svara. I say, koda time of my mishum heker. The whole reason for the koda is that it's a matter of a heker, which we're going to be discussing later in the Gemara, and we already mentioned this a few days ago. It's going to come up several times in the Perek. Is the koda there as a heker to remind you, even though you're carrying in the mavui, you can't carry in the same way in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, or you can't carry between the mavui and Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So if the purpose of the koda is a heker, oval lachsam, might have a heker, if you have it placed on an angle over there, it's not such a hacker, because what happens, now what you have is you have people carrying around in that area, where you have only one wall of the mavui on one side of it, and the koda, and it looks like an extension of Rosh Hashanah Rabim. It's not obvious to people that that's still considered part of the mavui, therefore people think that you're allowed to carry in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So therefore that wouldn't work, and therefore you have to put it perpendicular to the walls to make sure that at a 90-degree angle to the walls so that's visibly distinct from Rosh Hashanah. The Ema Taima Didhu, continues Rava, let me explain the reason of the various Rav Kahanas. They would say, Koda Mishum Mai, what's the reason behind the Koda? Mishum Mechitza. The reason is because the Koda counts as a Mechitza. Because we say pitikra yod besosim, the edge of the koda comes down and forms a wall. Which again, we're going to discuss that point. We're going to discuss that point later in the Gemara. We already mentioned it before, and we're going to mention it again later. We're going to mention it again in further in the sugya and later on in the Perek. So if we say it's mishum mechitza, fine. Of alach and nami have a mechitza. So what if it's on an angle relative to the walls? It still counts as a mechitza. Therefore, it's okay. So that would be the reason behind the two different opinions. Amar Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana says, now we see already that there are a lot of Rav Kahanas in Shas, so here we have another Rav Kahana. He says, Hoyol Shmait Seta Kahani, since the original statement was said by a bunch of Rav Kahanas, a bunch of namesakes of mine, Ema Bamilsa, I will also say something in this connection. It could also be that what he means is that the people who are speaking up until that point were Koyanim. It's very possible that all of these Amoraim who were named Rav Kahana may actually have been Koyanim themselves. And as far as Rava, you actually have Tosfos discusses in some places in Shas, in Cholin and some other places, the question of whether Rava himself was a Kohen. So it might mean that Rav Kahana means that also. That actually, now, as far as the Rav Kahanas in Shas, some of them we know were Kohenim, some of them we know were not Kohenim. We know of at least one Rav Kahana who himself was not a Kohen, That's the one who had to run away to Eretz Yisrael and who had a run-in with Rabbi Yochanan, and that's described at the end of Bava Kamma over there. So he says that himself, if I hadn't married a Bas Kohen, I wouldn't have gone into Golos, implying that he himself wasn't a Kohen. So, but it could be that we're talking about over here that Rav Kahana is over here or Kohenim, and Rava himself may have been a Kohen. Or it could just mean Rav Kahana means that all of us are namesakes. All of us except for Rava, the ones who said that it's, the one who said it's Mutter to put it on an angle, are all Kahanas, so I'm going to say something on it as well. And even if we say that you are allowed to put the coda on an angle, again, as long as the long wall is not more than 4 amas longer than the shorter wall, there would be another condition. The diagonal cannot be more than 10 amas. If the diagonal is going to be 10 amas or more, then everybody would agree that you have to put it at a 90-degree angle to the walls because, as we said in the Mishnah, an opening 10 amas wide is not considered a Pesach anymore. Then you would need a Tzoros Pesach for it to be good. A coda wouldn't work. So if the diagonal, so even if the distance between the even if the difference in length between the walls is less than 4 amas, but if the mavui is wide enough that when you put the coda on an angle, you're going to wind up the length of the coda has to be more than 10 amas, then no good. Then you would have to put it perpendicular to the walls. Okay. So now we have a question in that connection. Are you allowed to carry things under the coda? Rav Rav Chia Rav Yechon Amr Mutal Leishtamash Tachas Akoira. Shmuel Rav Shimon Bar Rabbi Rav Shimon Lakish Amr Also Leishtamash Tachas Akoira. So you have three Amiroyim on each side of the question, whether you're allowed to or not. So the Gemara says Leima B'Hakam Miflegi. Would we have to say that the underlying machlokas is as follows: the Mar Sava Koda Mishum Hekker or Mar Sava Koda Mishum Achitza? It would be the same argument as we just had that Rava had with the Rav Kahanas, where we said Rava had said that the purpose of the Koda is Mishum Hekker. That's why he said you can't put it on a diagonal. And in this case, we would say the purpose of it is a hecker. So therefore, once you reach the hecker, once you reach the inner edge of the coda, then you have to stop carrying, because that's where the hecker is. Whereas the other opinion, the ones who say it's mutter, would say it's mishum mechitza, and therefore you would say the outer edge of it becomes the mechitza. The answer is no, you don't have to say that. The kolay alma coda mishum hecker, all of them might agree that the coda is there as a hecker, but when we say it's a hecker, who is it a hecker for? The machlokas would be the marasava hakeda milagav, the ones who say it's also leishtamash tachas hakoda, Shmuel and Rav Shimon Berebi and Rav Shimon Lakish, would say that the hecker is mainly meant for the people inside the mavui. They have to be aware that they're allowed to carry in the mavui, but not in Rosh Hashanah and not between the mavui and Rosh Hashanah. So as soon as they reach the inner edge of the coda, then they have to stop carrying, because that's where the hecker begins. Or Mar Sover, Hekera Milabar, whereas the others, Rav, Rav Chia, and Rav Yechanan, would say the hecker is mainly meant for the Bnei Rosh Hashanah. They have to realize, they're looking in over there and they can see people carrying around in this mavui. They shouldn't think that they're allowed to carry in Rosh Hashanah, or between themselves and the mavui. So the hecker is mainly for them, and therefore you can go according to the outer edge of it, and therefore you would be able to carry under the coda itself. Another possibility is they might both agree that the coda is there to serve as a machitza, because we say pi tikur yod v'soisim, that the bottom, that the edge of it comes down, and we say good achis, and we consider as though there was a wall over there. The machlokas therefore would be as follows: which edge of it forms the machitza? The marasav chodei apnimi yod v'saisim, or marasav chodei achitzin yod v'saisim? Is it that the inner edge is what's yod v'saisim? In that case, then you can only carry until that inner edge. Or is it the outer edge that is yod v'saisim? And therefore you could carry under the koda itself up until the outer edge of it, because that's where the machitza is going to be. And the Gemara mentions one more point. Now, we have a machloikas then. We're saying whether you can carry under the kora, but everybody does agree that next to the lechi, it would be also to carry. Bein lechayayim doesn't really mean you don't need two lechayayim. You only need, as we're going to learn later in the parak, you only need one lechi. The expression bein lechayayim just means generically, in all the various mavoyas that have lechis, you're not allowed to carry next to the lechi. Why not? Tosfos says the reason is because the coda has a minimum width. We're going to learn. We learned briefly before. We're going to learn in more detail later in the Perek. The coda has to be at least one tefach wide. So therefore, you can talk about an area underneath it. As opposed to the lechi, we're going to learn later in the Perek, there's no minimum width for it. So if you're allowed to carry next to the lechi, people are going to end up carrying to Rosh Hashanah. Other Rishonim learn, actually, that we can say, now this, we're talking about whether the Koda is a heker or whether it's a mechitza. You have a similar machlokas as far as a lechi, which we're going to have later in the Perek. It's possible, some Rishonim learn, that those two things are not interdependent. You could have, the Koda could be mishum mechitza, and therefore that you should be allowed to carry under the mavui, and the lechi could be, on the other hand, mishum heker, and therefore you're not allowed to carry next to it. So we don't have to say it. So Tosfos mentions that opinion, but doesn't like it, but other Rishonim learn that is in fact what Rav Chista means, that the Kora is there as a mechitza, and we would say, like the Gemara is saying over here, according to the opinions that are matter, that the outer edge of it is Yerid Besoysim, whereas we would say when it comes to the Lechi, we would say it's there as a heker, and therefore you can only carry up to the beginning of the heker. Again, Tosfos is saying, not like that, it's not a matter of one being a mechitza, one being a heker, it's a matter of the Kora has a minimum width, and the Lechi does not have a minimum width. Okay. Shalom, everyone.